Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel and the Opel Commercial Vehicles range. We have your van.
Republican President Donald Trump and his Democrat rival Joe Biden, they held their final debate in Nashville, Tennessee overnight. There's less than 2 weeks to go before the presidential election, and to give us her reaction on how both candidates performed, I'm joined on the line by Gina London, former CNN correspondent and columnist with the Sunday Independent. Hi, Gina.
Hi, how are you, Claire?
I'm very good. I think most people said that the debate last night was much more illuminating than the first one. Would you agree?
Yes, of course, because for the first time we could actually hear a person actually deliver their thoughts without the other person interrupting. No, in all seriousness, I was grateful to hear an actual policy debate, an actual presidential debate, not just interruptions. And I think the muted mic that the election commission decided to go with and muting each other's mics when one person was speaking during those 2 minutes was a good tactic, because we did actually get to hear each person put forward their stances. Starkly different stances, but we did at least get to hear them without too much interruption.
Well, Gina, let's have a listen now, because unsurprisingly, coronavirus dominated the debate, and
right.
Joe Biden landed a few good lines. He was criticizing Donald Trump's handling of the situation. Let's take a listen.
He says that we're learning to live with it. People are learning to die with it. You folks home will have an empty chair at the kitchen table this morning. That man or wife going to bed tonight and reaching over to try to touch their, out of habit, where their wife or husband was, is gone. Learning to live with it. Come on. We're dying with it, because he has never said, you said it's dangerous. When's the last time? Is it really dangerous still? Are we dangerous? You tell the people it's dangerous now? What should they do about the danger? And you say, I take no responsibility.
Let me talk about your two.
Excuse me. I take full responsibility. It's not my fault that it came here. It's China's fault. And you know what? It's not Joe's fault that it came here either. It's China's fault. They kept it from going into the rest of China for the most part, but they didn't keep it from coming out to the world, including Europe and ourselves.
Vice President Biden.
The fact is that when we knew it was coming, when it hit, what happened? What did the president say? He said, don't worry. It's going to go away. Be gone by Easter. Don't worry. The warm weather. Don't worry. Maybe inject bleach. He said he was kidding when he said that, but a lot of people thought it was serious. A whole range of things the president has said. Even today, he thinks we are in control. We're about to lose 200,000 more people.
That's Joe Biden there. We all heard, Gina, that President Donald Trump's advisors told him to pull back a little bit, to use a softer touch this time round. And just listening to that clip, you can probably say that he took that advice. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. I think there's without a doubt that President Trump put forth his best measured presidential presence performance yet. It really was a good performance. But with the president lagging and all the polls, Claire, he really needed Biden in this debate to make a big stumble or make a mistake, which he did not. And so even though this was much more measured from President Trump, there still is a narrow pathway for him to try to navigate to get to hold and retain the White House coming up in just a few more days. And yeah, go ahead.
Joe Biden just has that challenge, though, hasn't he? I mean, his supporters and the Democrats, it's just such a broad church that when he is forced into a position to illuminate his policies and to talk a little bit more in detail about what he is going to do if and when he becomes president of the United States, that he risks breaking up his support base into factions.
Well, this is an interesting observation, because Vice President Biden has also had to do this very slow and steady, methodical, try to drumbeat himself into a win. And I am surprised, as I was saying, that President Trump is lagging in the polls, in most national polls, even by 10%, that it's not more, considering the faltering economy and the pandemic that we were hearing the two of them speak about just then. So it is actually a real challenge for Joe Biden, who would probably have thought, with his appeal to working class and coming from Pennsylvania, which was a state that Trump took from the Democrats last time in 2016, narrowly winning, that he wouldn't have larger margins right now. But it is looking like, as we're listening to them, and as there were some undecideds that were saying they still describe themselves that way, and they were looking to make their decisions based on the outcome of this debate last night. And now it was a CNN poll, and I know people would say, some of your listeners at CNN would be very skewed toward the the Democrats, but the undecided declare the people that decided or called themselves undecided, according to the CNN poll, they did say in this particular debate they believe that Biden won, but only by 53%. And that, again, margin is smaller than I think that the Democrats would like this close to actual election day. But we also have to point out that 40 million people have already come and gone to the early voting and placed in their votes, five times more than last cycle at this time, of course, driven largely by the pandemic and states opening their early voting even earlier this time.
It's extraordinary that 40 million people have already cast their votes. Will we take a listen to another clip, Gina, because the issue of racism was debated once again. Joe Biden claimed that inherent racism does exist in the United States, but this is what President Trump had to say.
The first time I ever heard of Black Lives Matter, they were chanting pigs in a blanket, talking about police. Pigs, pigs, talking about our police. Pigs in a blanket, fry them like bacon. I said, that's a horrible thing. And they were marching down the street. And that was my first glimpse of Black Lives Matter. I thought it was a terrible thing. As far as my relationships with all people, I think I have great relationships with all people. I am the least racist person in this room.
Well, what do you say to Americans who are concerned by that rhetoric?
I don't know. I don't know what to say. I got criminal justice reform done and prison reform and opportunity zones. I took care of black colleges and universities. I don't know what to say. They can say anything. I mean, they can say anything. It makes me sad because I am the least racist person. I can't even see the audience because it's so dark. But I don't care who's in the audience. I'm the least racist person in this room.
Gina, I don't know about you. I've never heard him as reticent and as measured in his response in a debate situation.
You know, this is one of the, again, and I agree with you in the sense that he had what I would call in communications rhetoric style. He had a grocery list of achievements that he pivoted from Kristen Welker there, the moderator, asking him about his rhetoric, which would be more around the incendiary things that he did in Charlottesville. And when he said there's good people on both sides and some of the things he's called out to his supporters around the so-called Trump army to come out and watch people at the polls. He pivoted from that rhetoric question and had that grocery list of his accomplishments. What I thought, and I thought he did that actually very well, what I didn't hear then as much from Joe Biden was a grocery list on the other side of those examples of rhetoric. Now, he did talk about the poor boys, proud boys. He called them poor boys during his response, actually, which was a small stumble on Biden's part. But he didn't have as much as preparation, I think, in terms of landing the counter punches to some of the things that Donald Trump said in this particular debate. Although another point that Trump made while he was being asked on the race question, which I found interesting, he repeated his claims about improving unemployment rates and also talked about how he's done more than even except for Abraham Lincoln, which is a bit of a stretch. When he talks about improving unemployment rates for black Americans, the black American unemployment rates still are roughly twice as high as white unemployment rates. And that, again, is a statistic that Joe Biden didn't have in his toolbox to bring out right away to counter.
Now, let me talk about the moderator, because Kristen Welker was widely praised after this debate last night. The host, the Fox host of the first debate was criticised, but he didn't have, I suppose, the advantage of the mute button.
He didn't have muted mics, right.
But she did very well.
I agree. I think Kristen Welker, first of all, it's interesting to point out that of the two debates, including the vice presidential debate, which was from USA Today's Susan Page, and then Chris Wallace, as you mentioned, from Fox, in the first chaotic and incoherent debate by anybody's standard between the president and vice president, the former vice president, Kristen Welker, because, again, from this the agreement from both sides around the election commission to have muted mics. She also, though, I thought was very almost like a school teacher in some way saying, okay, I'll give you this 10 seconds. She time blocked them very good as she was moving forward to other questions. And her questions too, Claire, I thought the way that she put forward right to the potential person she was speaking to, their policies, like around race, around the rhetoric, around the COVID, around the responses, she phrased them away right back at them and put them in that position, then the 2 minutes, and then the follow-up. I think she actually moved through. She got everything covered in that in the 90 minutes and really did, I think, a good job. If you look at the evenness, those number counters out there, President Trump spoke for 41 minutes and Joe Biden spoke for 38. So that's pretty even.
Okay, pretty even. And as you said, it's all about the undecideds. Reuters say 8% of voters have yet to make up their minds. What do you think the next week and a half will look like, Gina, when it comes to campaigning in a bid to win over the 8%?
Well, this election really is still very much up in the air. As I mentioned, with that backdrop of the pandemic and the economy, I think it is interesting that Biden's lead isn't even greater. I think, however, if there isn't one of those so-called October surprises and Biden does not make a mistake, the clearest path right now for Mr. Trump to hold on to that White House is to retain the three states, as I mentioned before, that he narrowly won from the Democrats in 2016. That's Pennsylvania, which, of course, Joe Biden grew up in and came from and talks about Scranton every time he speaks, Michigan and Wisconsin. But these two other big states, Arizona and Florida, are part of President Trump's winning electoral map. And Joe Biden is very competitive in those right now, and showing considerable strength in those. For example, Florida, right now, this morning, there are some polls that show President Trump up 2 points in Florida, or Biden way out in 7 points. And of course, Trump took Florida last time, but many, Claire, see this as a must-win state for him. So without a big stumble from Joe Biden, I think it will be very interesting to see what happens. But again, one other caveat is that there are a lot of mail-in ballot extension times other states are allowing for. So unless it is a real runaway, there might be, and I expect, a call for a wait to see what some of those mail-in ballot, those results come. If we could not have an actual winner and the day after the election.
Okay, well, let's take another clip now. When they came to talk about the environment, Joe Biden seemed to be on less certain ground than he had been on other topics. Let's take a listen.
The fastest growing industry in America is the electric, solar energy and wind. He thinks wind causes cancer, windmills. It's the fastest growing jobs, and they pay good prevailing wages, $45-$50 an hour. We can grow and we can be cleaner if we go the route I'm proposing.
President Trump,
excuse me.
Please respond, and then I have to follow.
We are energy independent for the first time. We don't need all of these countries that we had to fight war over because we needed their energy. We are energy independent. I know more about wind than you do. Oh. It's extremely expensive, kills all the birds. It's very intermittent. It's got a lot of problems. And they happen to make the windmills in both Germany and China. And the fumes coming up, if you're a believer in carbon emission, the fumes coming up to make these massive windmills is more than anything that we're talking about with natural gas, which is very clean. One other thing.
Find me a scientist
solar.
Said that.
I love solar, but solar doesn't quite have it yet. It's not powerful yet to really run our big, beautiful factories that we need to compete with the world. So
false.
It's all a pipe dream.
Gina, I leave it up to somebody else to assess the validity of what President Donald Trump was saying there, but it certainly sounded as though he was more certain of his position than Joe Biden.
You see, this gets exactly to the point that I was making earlier, Claire, and I agree with you from the listener perspective. If you're not sitting there fact-checking every little thing, and you are listening to President Trump going, let's talk about solar, let's talk about this, let's talk about my big, beautiful factories. He's got that grocery list of little nuggets that he's serving up. And unfortunately, Joe Biden, again, he mentioned in a catchphrase about the multitude of regulations that the Trump administration rolled back to protect the environment and climate through the administration of Obama and himself. But what he didn't do was, which is just in contrast to what we were listening to the president say, he didn't give a list of those like this. Now, he talked about the Paris Climate Accord and he talked about a couple of other individual things, but he didn't have as crystal and as polished of a list of things that I think people can remember. What's the power of a message? It's brief. It's memorable. It's something you can repeat. And Donald Trump does that style very well.
Gina, great to talk to you as always. Gina London there joining us on that all-important debate which happened last night. There's a week and a half to go before the final votes are cast in the US presidential election. We're going to be finding out how the over 70s are getting on at level 5 after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.